Hello out there, and welcome to your next mission video podcast. Did you know that since record keeping began after 9/11, more than four times as many active duty military and veterans have died by suicide than were killed in combat? Since September is Suicide Prevention Month, it's a perfect time for us to focus on an issue that sometimes can be tough to talk about, but it's so important to address. Today, I'll introduce to you a clinical psychologist who is among the leaders in the fight to prevent veteran suicide. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of the veterans and service members and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision and USAA, together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I'm going to say it every week. We love them too. As I mentioned a minute ago, September is Suicide Prevention Month. Today, we're going to talk about the stigma surrounding suicide, particularly in the veteran community, and about some of the resources available for those who need help. And I'm happy to have as my guest today, Dr. Katie Dondeville. She is the Associate Professor at the Strong Start Training Initiative Director at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. And she's the Chief Scientific Advisor for Face to Fight. Dr. Dondeville, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of this today.
Well, I know you're terribly busy, and I certainly appreciate all you've done and continue to do. You know, we have a lot to talk about today. But before we do that, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a clinical psychologist. I did my clinical training in the VA, and as I was finishing up my fellowship, I was looking for opportunity to work with veterans or service members focusing on trauma and trauma-related disorders. And so I started that work at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio, where I was up at Fort Hood with the Strong Start Consortium. And we completed the first studies looking at treatment for PTSD, suicide, and insomnia with active duty military members. As those studies were wrapping up, one of the things I thought a lot about was how do we get the learning from these really impactful research studies into the offices of clinicians that are seeing our veterans and service members every day. And so we started the Strong Start Training Initiative as an opportunity to really focus on training licensed clinicians who are serving this population in the community. Starting about 2.5 years ago, I started working with USAA and their Face the Fight initiative, which is focusing on reducing veteran suicide and serving as their chief scientific advisor, leading our scientific advisory committee, and helping to really think about what is the most impactful way USAA and the coalition members can make an impact reducing veteran suicide.
It sounds to me you never get a free moment to take care of yourself. You're pretty busy. You know, for our viewers out there and our listeners that may not know, Face to Fight is a coalition of organizations led by USAA who are working to break the stigma that I mentioned earlier that surrounds suicide in our military community. Doctor, do you think that the stigma is greater among active duty service members and veterans than, you know, maybe in our general population?
Yeah, I think it's different. I think if you think about, you know, in part of being a part of the military is focusing on strengths and resilience and readiness, and that talking about challenges, especially challenges that might be perceived as mental health challenges, can be perceived as a weakness, but it's really a strength. To talk in that way and to get the help that is needed.
Yeah, you know, I think when we had a prep call, I talked about a bunch of stuff, but all of us, and I don't think anybody that served doesn't struggle a little bit, but I didn't want to tell anybody about it. I wanted to sort of keep that to myself, and that's the way I was trained for 36 years. So what do you think might convince people that it's okay to talk about it?
Yeah. Well, I think we have to talk about something, right, in order to figure out what to do about it. And I think sometimes there are things we don't talk about because we think there's nothing that can be done. But when it comes to suicide or mental health concerns, there are a lot of effective treatments and options. And so when you talk with a friend, a medical provider, that gives you this opportunity to learn about the options and experiences. And if we were having this conversation 10 years ago, 20 years ago, there weren't the same options that there were. And so I think that's really important to realize is that the research has moved quickly. We have more and more options that are really helpful to reduce symptoms and help people live the life that they want to live. And so it's important to realize that, that it's not that the talking about it could help you find the right door for you.
Yeah, I got it. I told you on the prep call, but I'll tell you again here to our listeners, I've struggled with post-traumatic stress for over 50 years. And there's certain things that that I talk about, that I tear up, that I really can't say too much about. I also tell you, and we talked about talking to people, it's important to find the right person to talk to, because everybody doesn't, you know, communicate well together, I guess. And that's really a struggle. I don't know if I told you a story or not. I went one time to talk to somebody because I just need to talk to somebody, maybe other than my wife. And it was, I got in there and I had a hard time. But when I started talking to that person, they were so disconnected from me. And it was just a terrible event. And so I just, after about 20 minutes, I said, hey, thanks a lot. I'll see you later, and sort of left. And that's unfortunate. But I think, I don't think I'm out of the norm. I think a lot of people have the same problem. They just got to fight or find where they fit in. Do you think post-traumatic stress is the leading cause of suicide among our military and veteran community? I would probably think it is, but what do you think, man?
Yeah, so first I want to say that, you know, your experience of meeting with someone and they weren't the right fit, that's not uncommon. And if we think about it in all the other areas of our lives, it takes a while to find the right fit, whether that's the person who cuts your hair or your medical doctor or your partner. And so I think that's important to not get discouraged. That's not unique, but it feels sometimes heavier when we're talking about more vulnerable things. So, you know, trying out another person is a really important piece. One of the things that is really important is we know that, many of our veterans and service members have experienced trauma, and some of them have developed PTSD like yourself. And that PTSD is a disorder where you're haunted by some of the traumatic events from the past. And one of the ways in which we as humans try to navigate that is when we have these bad thoughts and feelings, we want to push them away. We don't want to think about it. We won't want to talk about it. And that's part of the way we both cope, but it's also part of what keeps us stuck. And so for people with PTSD, one of the ways in which they might think about avoiding or escaping might be related to thoughts of suicide. So thoughts like, I wish this pain would stop, or if I wasn't here, this wouldn't haunt me any longer. And so we do see that many people with PTSD also have thoughts of suicide. We also see that when we treat the PTSD, the suicidal thoughts also decrease. It's important, though, to know that about half of those who die by suicide did not have a diagnosed mental health disorder. And so that for some of them, that may mean that they never sought treatment. But for some people who struggle with suicidality, it's not related to PTSD. It might be related to things like financial strain, legal problems, losing their job, issues with a relationship. And so we know that suicide is complex, and that people may have times in which they're having these thoughts and they can feel very intense because they are. They also can leave pretty quickly. And so it's important if somebody is in a suicidal crisis, to give time and space that that crisis will not last forever. And reaching out to a friend, a loved one, the suicide crisis line is a way to help get that time and space to get through that moment.
Yeah, I think one of the, all the stuff, man, I tell you, I think a lot of stuff when you're talking there, but all the stuff you're talking about, my biggest problem, and I don't know about the listeners out there, my biggest problem is finding the right person to talk to. And I always say, if you walked in my boots and you did the things that I've done and you've seen the things, that's a little bit different. But so if I go up and start, open it up to somebody, it's so hard to get them maybe to see my side of things sometimes. And that's, I'm sure that somebody has, and I know you did a lot of stuff at Fort Hood and you've been around a lot of people all over the military, maybe not yourself, but there's a lot of doctors I think out there that probably just have not walked in my boots and maybe don't see it from the same way as I see them. The other thing I'll tell you is the older I get, the more that I see those things.
The more that you see which
Well, the
things.
things that maybe the things that I did in the military, maybe the things that, made me
So,
forget. Yeah. I know
yeah,
it's hard to do.
it's hard, right? And I think that one of the things that happens is we know that after someone experiences trauma, that the symptoms of PTSD, like having nightmares or images or feeling jumpy or hypervigilant, that those are actually human reactions, that almost everybody has them after a trauma. And over time, for some people, those come down. For other people, it may be then another trauma, and they're kind of stuck in those symptoms. And one of the things that we hear is that when people transition, maybe they're leaving the military, maybe they're retiring, as things get a little bit slower, sometimes that's when these things that were maybe we pushed down, and we were really good at avoiding them because we stayed really busy, start to kind of creep up. And so unfortunately, it's not uncommon. But what we do know is that there are really effective treatments and programs. And over the last decade or more, we know that within the VA, we also have the Bush Institute with the Warrior Wellness Alliance and Check-In. Check-In is an amazing program where they help you navigate the right treatment options for you, whether that's for mental health like PTSD or for TBI. So check-in is something I really recommend because it's a person to help you figure out What are the right options for you, whether it be VA or some of the amazing nonprofits like the Road Home Program, Emory Veteran, Home Base. We also have great options like Cohen Veteran Network, the Headstrong Project, Centerstone. These are all really great options to receive high quality, evidence-based care with clinicians who serve veterans, military, and their families. They themselves may have served, but they work with veterans, military, and family and have for years. Yeah. And if one clinician isn't the right fit, there's another clinician
For everyone, there's a two. Yeah, see, now that a minute ago, that was part of my PTSD. I say certain things, and then I struggle to get through them. The other thing I think is really a key here is I think where you're active duty, you're out there doing things, you're moving around, you're not thinking about those things, just what you said a minute ago. But when things slow down and you sit on that couch and maybe listen to radio, listen to music, and then you start thinking and thinking and thinking. I think that's, if we sort of tie that to suicide prevention, I think that's probably one of the biggest problems because you're stationary, you're not moving around, you're not reaching out to nobody. So I think the key to success, I hope I'm right, I don't know if I'm right or not, but I think the key to success is you got to be active. You got to talk to people, you got to communicate, and you have to tell people how you feel about whatever those subjects are. And it's hard to, like I said, it's hard to open up. A lot of people open up to their spouse. I don't know about the kids and stuff, but to their spouse or somebody that's a brother or somebody that's close to them. So that's important. You know, you worked on first clinical studies in treating post-traumatic stress, and I'm certainly sure you did a great job too. What have you learned about what works and really what doesn't work? I mean, there's a lot of stuff people say it works, and you know what works and what doesn't work. I guess.
Yeah. So we're in a really great time in that we have multiple treatments that are really effective at reducing symptoms. We couldn't say that for our veteran in active duty. We couldn't say that 15 years ago, but we do know that the things that work the most effective are talk therapies. So when you're talking with a therapist, their therapy is called prolonged exposure, cognitive processing therapy, written exposure therapy. There's another one called EMDR. But all of these therapies have similarities in that they are trauma focused. So they're focused on the things that are haunting you, that are coming up when you don't want to think about it. That's your brain's telling you, I can't make sense of this. I can't file this away. So each one of those therapies has a different approach to help you zoom in efficiently, to teach you some skills, and process what happened so you can face forward and live the life you want to live. Because one of the things that we know doesn't work is not talking about it. Time, avoidance, right? And we avoid in so many different ways, like busy, busy, busy. Sometimes people turn to drugs and alcohol. A lot of times it's a combination of not, you know, we can isolate, we avoid places, people, stop driving. Like the world just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller with that avoidance. And it really robs people from the rich experiences that bring us joy, the connection with our family, being able to go to your kiddo's graduation, that's going to have a lot of people in it. And so talk therapies like these are really the most effective ways. And we have multiple studies, a number of studies, probably across all of them, more than 100, really showing that they are effective in reducing the symptoms of PTSD. Organizations like the Road Home and Home Base and Emory Veterans, they offer these therapies in a more condensed format, like a 1 week, 2 week, 3 week format, which is a really efficient way to treat those symptoms. But these are things that are available within the VA, but also outside in many of these nonprofits.
Yeah, this is a great discussion. A couple of things there. One is that I hope you do online programs. Maybe we can talk about that later. The second thing is I had anger issues for a long time, probably 10 years. And even today, even as old as I am today, sometimes I have to really pull myself back because if, you know, if I just don't say anything, I just sort of say, just let it go, just let it fall off my shoulder. And I think there's a lot of people that that went to war, went to combat, do the same thing. They learn to control their emotions and just let it, you know, sort of roll off them a little bit, so they just don't fly off the handle. This is a great discussion. I love talking about this stuff because we're helping veterans, and that's why you're on the show today. We've got a lot more to talk about, but first, we need to take a quick break, so stay right there. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are because we're talking about helping veterans, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget, be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking about suicide prevention, mental health, and post-traumatic stress, and a lot more with Dr. Katie Dondeville, Associate Professor at the University of Texas Health in San Antonio and Chief Scientific Advisor for the Face to Fight. Before we get back to our discussion, I'd like to take a few seconds to tell you about a new program we're excited about called Your Next Mission VCS, a veterans community support program. We'll provide personalized one-on-one support to address the unique needs within our veteran community, facilitated through our many partnerships with other veteran service organizations. Please check us out at yournextmission.org/VCS and enroll to participate today. Remember, we want to help you with whatever your issues you and your family are facing. So please reach out to us. Dr. Dondeville, we're talking about, before the break, about PTS. How can this affect families, and how do you involve the families in treatment?
Yeah, well, one thing to think about is, like, I think as an individual who might be suffering, you might think to yourself that this is something that is private, and maybe that your family member and your loved ones don't notice, but people do notice. It does affect families. They love you, and they are seeing the person that they love and care about struggle in different ways, not wanting to do the things they used to want to do, maybe feel really uncomfortable at events or decline things like maybe they would be someone who wanted to go to their kiddos' football game or soccer game or grand kiddos, and now they don't want to go anymore. So the family is really, you know, aware and is missing out on those moments. And sometimes they themselves might also start to decline things for that person who's suffering, or start to do things for them to try to make them feel less uncomfortable, right? And so when somebody that you care about is struggling, it affects all the people. And so family is really important, and family is really important to be involved in treatment. There are couples treatments for PTSD. that are available at the VA or organizations like Cohen Veteran Network. But I think it's really important for families to understand a little bit about what is PTSD and what are those treatment options. The VA has really great resources to talk with kiddos about PTSD, how to talk about that. And I think that family members can be really important supports to help that veteran or service member get the treatment that they need to. So one of the things that might surprise you is that if you were to reach out to the check-in program through Warrior Wellness Alliance or Veteran Suicide Crisis Line, that they are there for family members to help support that and help navigate together. So family is really important. I often joke that I don't have any clients that ever come in and say, I would like a 10-point reduction on this PCL scale. Nobody cares about that. But what they want is for like to be able to go to their kiddo's football game, to be able to enjoy things with their family, to not white knuckle it through that SeaWorld experience, to be able to live life with meaningfully with their family. So family is so important.
What are you talking about? The crowds you get around. I mean, you're around a crowd, you're maybe in the middle of a crowd, you're look. We talked about before, trying to find an evacuation plan out of there. One of the things I always thought was important, we always, and this, I'm glad that, all these organizations are doing something that all they can do on suicide prevention and families and all that stuff. But I wish we'd find a way to start in the military, to start educating people about what they may go through in 10 or 15 years. And so if I knew a little bit about what I may go through when I got a little bit older, then I could maybe sort through it a little bit differently. And I think that's one of the things that we're missing. The other thing I'll tell you is one size don't fit all. It's so hard to find a right treatment for each family. I'm sure that's hard to find. I mean, everyone doesn't have the same kind of treatment. So how do you find a right one for that group or that family?
So I think the first thing is when you are seeking mental health treatment, is that the clinician is going to do an assessment. They're going to assess a number of different symptoms. They're going to ask about your goals. They're also going to talk with you about a range of options. And so sometimes those options, you might say, ooh, I don't like that. I'll try this. Or that sounds weird, but I'm willing to try this. How you make your decision, it doesn't matter as long as it's your decision. And so there's also tools. The VA has put together a number of tools. They have this great website called About Face that has veterans and family members' stories about PTSD symptoms, but also treatment options. And there's also a PTSD decision aid tool where it will ask you questions, and based on your answers, it'll present some options of treatment. One of the studies that we were doing and were a part of was one that combined prolonged exposure and talk therapy and stellate ganglionite block. And as a civilian, I thought to myself, who's going to want an injection in their neck? And they're like,
Not
veteran
me.
military members. if you get a lot of injections, one more is pretty easy. So again, right, there's just a lot of different options. That's not going to be the option I would choose if I developed PTSD. And it's important to say something could happen today. Just because I'm an expert in treatment and research of PTSD doesn't mean that I can't develop PTSD. There's a lot of options to consider. I would say do your own research. There's some great whiteboard videos, the About Face website, the PTSD decision aid, and talk with your providers about like it's okay to say, I don't like that. What are my other options? Right? Because What we know is it's about match, and that we have a number of really good options. It's about what's the best fit for you.
You know, I think I've told you this, but I went basic training. When I come to start basic training, AIT, jump school, and then straight to Vietnam. So at 18 years old, I was fighting a war, and I got out of the Army, stayed out a couple of years, and then went back in. But I think because I stayed in the service, I was able to work through some of those issues, and it really helped me. I think we struggle a lot because people come in 3 or 4 years that have issues, that have post-traumatic stress, that get out of the service, that don't have any kind of assistance or nobody to help them. And I think that ties the suicide also. How often do you find that transition from the military to civilian life leads to mental health issues, particularly, you know, the loss of community? I mean, I have a, you know, I used to tell people I had 1.3 million people I was in charge of one day, and the next day it's just me and my wife. So do you think that loss of community has a, you know, has a big effect on, you know, the people's, you know, post-traumatic stress and suicide and everything else, I guess you'd fall in there?
We do see that as people are transitioning from the military into civilian life and being a veteran, that first 18 months is a particularly high risk period for suicidality. And if we think about what that means that they're navigating, it makes a lot of sense. There is identity. They may be moving to a new community. They're figuring out whether they're going to school and navigating that, getting a new job. And if you're somebody, especially who served during kind of a wartime, now you're kind of transitioning to this community where maybe there's not a lot of visible military connected or veterans around you, and somebody is throwing a fit at the Home Depot checkout line about a flower. And it's just like, this doesn't make a lot of sense, right? You know, the stakes are different in everyday life than they are in a deployed setting. They're not life and death, but the kind of the trigger of disrespect or maybe lack of carelessness around safety, right? Like that can kind of trigger back those big reactions. A colleague of mine at the VA, Dr. Joe Girasi, he's also a combat veteran. He started this really important program called the Veteran Sponsorship Partner Network, and it really is about connecting with transitioning service members, working with the ETS sponsorship program to connect with sponsors and services. When you get to a new community, if you're landing, let's say, in Austin, Texas, you know, what church do I belong to? Where do my kiddos go to school? Like, what about like, oh, I got to get them into this like sports league, but there's 74 options. How do I navigate that? So the sponsorship program is really about matching people to somebody in the new community to help navigate that, which is something that is similar in military transitions, but once you kind of cross over, you're not connected in the same way. So this program is really effective at reducing all that transition-related distress and protecting against suicide.
Well, it's really funny because in a military community, I lived on a military installation just about the majority of my life. And I, you know, you move in somewhere or somebody come over and give you some food or talk to you, say hi and all that. But when I moved in the civilian community, I walked around, knocked on doors, say, I'm Jack Tilley, how do you do? And I probably visited 7 or 8 houses, and I came back and my wife said, you know, those guys will think you're nuts. Don't do that. You know, don't do, just, you know, they let them gradually come over and say hi to you. So, you know, it's a little different structure. It takes you a while to fit in. So, you know, there's so many different things that can cause people to struggle and lead to mental health issues. How do you get to the root of the problem? You know, how do you find out what the root of the problem is? You know, even for a guy like me.
Yeah. So I think a couple things is, you know, as humans, one of the things that we are constantly doing is growing and reflecting. And so some of that is being honest with ourselves about like, when did we see this first start? What do we think this is related to? You mentioned anger, and sometimes anger is a really good signal that maybe there's something underneath the anger. What is the pattern around
Can I say something
that?
real quick about anger? The other thing about anger is I used to get so angry that I'd do something and I didn't realize it until I was over. I mean, I just reacted. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that was anger is a big one. I think anger, that's why we have so many people that are incarcerated in our country because they couldn't adjust, they couldn't make the jump. I'm sorry, ma'am. Go ahead.
It can get you in trouble,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely,
And
absolutely.
like it could get you in the ultimate trouble where you lose your freedom, right? And you're incarcerated. Just like, alcohol or drugs, is that, what is the trigger? What is the reason I'm ended up in this habit? What am I trying to escape? And so, if you're thinking that the struggle might be related to mental health, whether it's trauma or depression or suicide, talking with a clinician to do a full assessment is the best first step, to really pinpoint what is the most efficient way to help someone get back to the things that are important to them. And so I think that that's a really important thing. But it's also possible that some of this is maybe related to, challenges with finances or legal problems. And so mental health clinicians can be really helpful to support you in any stressful situation. It doesn't have to be something like PTSD or depression. But also, we want to think about who are the experts that can help us navigate the current challenge. And so it often takes a team, and that team includes you. That team also includes your loved ones and family members that want to be supporting you.
Yeah. So, ma'am, I want to talk about what are some of the resources out there for people seeking help. But we need to take another quick break first. So please, I know you're not going to go anywhere. Please stay right there. We'll be right back. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations that help make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken, whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Dr. Katie Dondeville, a clinical psychologist who is also the chief scientific advisor for Face the Fight, a coalition of over 180 organizations working to break the stigma surrounding suicide in the military community. Remember that, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you. We want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I said before, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll actually reach back out to you. Dr. Dondeville, if someone in the military community, either active duty or veteran, is struggling with mental health issues, where do they turn for help and where should they, what should be the first call they make, I guess?
Yeah, so if it's not a crisis that you're struggling with these things and you're wondering what options might be available, if you're in the military, it's really talking with your primary care provider, maybe your chaplain, and helping to determine whether or not you navigate and move into a behavioral health clinic, or you use TRICARE. So those can be really good first line, including Military OneSource. Within the VA or within the veteran community, the VA is really a leader in providing the highest quality care. So your VA, your vet center, but also thinking about talking with your primary care provider. There are also resources outside the VA that provide evidence-based quality care. So if you're struggling with TBI or mental health problems like post-traumatic stress disorder, the Warrior Wellness Alliance check-in program will help you navigate those resources. Some mental health resources that are really great outside of the VA or Cohen Veteran Network. They also provide, all of these provide telehealth. So that's one of the great things that has happened post-COVID, is that we know that we can be more flexible about the delivery of care. And we've already done that research that it doesn't change the quality or the effectiveness of that care. So Cohen Veteran Network, the Headstrong Project, Centerstone Military, Stop Soldier Suicide is an organization that focuses specifically around interventions for suicide, and they're really the best in class in that way. I also want to highlight that there are a number of organizations that help people navigate, that provide peer support. Not everybody is interested or maybe ready or needs clinical care. So organizations like Vets for Warriors, they have a 24/7 line to help you navigate resources. This internet is so vast. Sometimes we Google something and it's just pages. Like, where do I get started? Vets for Warriors really is there to help you personally navigate that. There's also organizations like Objective Zero, where you can download an app and you can connect with another veteran or service member and connect with somebody who, based on the specifications that you want. So maybe you want somebody who has deployed to Iraq or deployed to South America or was Army or was Navy, that they have just a cadre of individuals who are there to provide that peer support. And the other thing is you can provide that peer support too to others. And if you're in crisis or you know someone who's in crisis, dial 988 and press 1 to be connected to the Veteran Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. They're there to help you navigate resources and get through that moment. But you don't have to wait for crisis. There's a lot of resources available now.
Yeah, I think that just for little old me, for our foundation and our my social media stuff and all this stuff, I asked, I'm a 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, so I asked all veterans that I'm associated with, on the 12th of each month, contact another veteran, talk to somebody, keep that communication flow going. But, I keep looking at the numbers, and I'm not going to bring up how many numbers there is, because every time I say one number, it's grown. But do you really feel like we're making headway into suicide awareness prevention? You think we're making a difference?
We are making a difference, and you're not wrong that the numbers are really staggering, sad. Even if those numbers were single digits, they're still too high. They're still too high.
One's too many.
We all know at least one person who is struggled or has died by suicide, and I have dreams that maybe my kiddos might, in their generation, might not say the same thing. But we are making progress. I think that's really important. The fact that USAA is leading Face the Fight, and on wefacethefight.org, all these resources are available. So that's all you have to remember. But if we think about it, never have we had corporations like USAA, the Humana Foundation, Reach Resilience, and Endeavors Foundation take the lead and talk about something that Generally, it's usually the VA or medical providers that really brings this problem out of the shadows and into the general public. We're talking about this in a way. It's not something that we feel comfortable, right? We wish we didn't have to have these conversations. And I think that, you know, the more we talk about it, the more that we're going to see reduced stigma. People will get the resources that they need because they know that there are resources. That's also the problem of not talking about things, is that if I don't think that there is something that can help me, then I just have to stuff it down, right? Like, I just have to deal with it. This is life. But it's not, doesn't have to be life. And that's really important. And if you were somebody who sought care maybe a decade ago and had a bad experience, I encourage you to reach out again. Things have changed. We have a lot of resources. We have a lot of clinicians who have served themselves or worked with veterans and service members for decades. But, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, some of our service members and veterans, and unfortunately less frequently today, ended up in offices with people who just didn't understand the military culture. But there's been huge strides, and we're so grateful for USAA and their leadership with Face the Fight to continue this important work.
Well, first of all, let me say thank you for all that you're doing. Face the Fight, USAA, the 180, I think it was 180 organizations that really teamed up with the USAA Face to Fight. Thank you for all that you're doing, because you're making a difference. And I said it a minute ago, I mean, if you can save one life, you're making a difference. And that's what we all need to do, is team up, because this really is a crisis, and we need to do all we can each and every day to make a difference. But we're going to do that. We're going to work together and make it better and better and better. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience, maybe we missed, we should have talked about, anything you want to add? I got to wrap it up, but I want you, any final thoughts?
I'll just say, please, you know, visit wefacethefight.org, follow the social channels. There's a lot of training and opportunities to get involved as an individual. And we're here to help really focus on reducing that stigma and increasing access to these really effective interventions. So thank you for this opportunity.
Well, it's been great just having you on the show, and it's a great discussion. I probably could talk about this for 2 or 3 hours. And you've really given out a lot of really great information. And so, again, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for what you continue to do. And please, we're a resource. If we can help you, please let us know. Thanks again to Dr. Katie Dondeville for being with us today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website, yournextmission.org, and leave me a review. I always say, I hope it's a good one, but if it's a bad one, I guess I can take it. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And take a look at our job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's just right for you. Please go to the website to watch a short video that will help you fine-tune your search and where you can create your own personal profile. You can follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click and subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Dr. Dondeville for joining us today. And I just want to leave you, this is the part of the show where I always leave you final thoughts. Look, you see me on the show sort of struggle, because it's not easy. It's not easy for any of us. A lot of us struggle with post-traumatic stress, whether or not it happened 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years. But you're not alone. You're not by yourself. There's people out there that want to help you, that want to do everything they can to make sure that you have a productive life, that you do things with your family, that you just enjoy your life. Because you've given so much to this country, and we want to give back to you. I always tell you, you're all part of my family. I'm just not going to give you any money. But we're together. So don't think that you're alone. Thanks for watching. And of course, thanks to New Mind Studios, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and of course, USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.